Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the Christian life? This is the question that Jesus poses and answers over these last few weeks of the church year, starting from last week, as we look at parables of the kingdom of heaven. How is a Christian to live in this life, waiting for Christ to return? The answer Jesus gives may surprise you. Last week's parable, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, taught that we are commended for being prepared. That's the Coast Guard motto, Semper Paratus, always prepared, which pairs pretty well with the Boy Scout motto of be prepared. This time round, however, with the parable of the talents, we learn how it is that we are to live in this life as we wait for Christ to return. And so we start with verse 14 in Matthew 25, for it, meaning the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Now, the first thing that should strike you is that the kingdom of heaven is like a man leaving. The master in this parable is, of course, Jesus, and Jesus is gone for the vast majority of the parable, at least time-wise. He's there to entrust his property, and then he shows up again some indeterminate period later to settle accounts with his servants, but he's gone for a long period of time. Now, Jesus is not abandoning us. That's not what Jesus is saying here. After all, in Matthew 28, verse 20, the last word of the gospel according to Matthew is that I am with you always to the end of the age. However, Jesus isn't exactly standing here in a way that we can see and touch. We see him in the sacrament, we hear him in his word, yes, but this isn't the same experience that the disciples enjoyed of having Jesus sitting down to table with them and speaking directly to them. And so this master is leaving. The Christian life is about Jesus not really being here in a way that we see physically or visibly. And so this master is going to leave on a journey, and he doesn't tell them how long he is going to be away. We don't know how long Jesus is going to be away either, how long it's going to be before his return. And what are these servants to do while their master is away? They are to look after his property. In other words, keep on doing what they were supposed to be doing, serving their master. The master gives to each of them a number of talents, and remember, a talent in this context is a monetary unit, roughly equivalent to a lifetime's wages. And so the use as an ability or a skill or a talent, the way that we think of it, actually comes from this parable. But if you remember the parable of the unforgiving servant, a talent is about what you could expect to make in a lifetime, and the master just hands it to them like it's pocket change. The talents for which the servants are responsible are given to them by their master. It's more than they could ever expect to see in a lifetime. And the job that the master gives them is to manage it on their on his behalf as the owner of this property. They are to manage it and present it back to him results of their management when on his return. Two of the servants take what the master had given to them. They work with it. They improve it. But the third servant takes his master's gift and hides it away in the dirt. The servants were not told when the master would return. All they could do was to be faithful with what their master had given them for however long the master was away. It says that the master was gone for a long time. Now imagine being in the position of the servants, having to care for the master's property without knowing when it will be that he will return to reclaim it. And so the master is gone for a long time, and then it says that after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And when he does so, he actually doesn't commend them differently on how successful they are. The one with the 5 talents receives the same praise as the one with the 2 talents. Both of them are commended not for the result, but for the faithfulness with which they achieved that result. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verses 21 and 23 are exactly the same. The faithless servant, by contrast, was condemned, but not for his laziness, but for his failure to actually do anything with the talent he was given. It's a very minor distinction there, but the master told him that he should have put the talent in the bank, which honestly isn't any more active than burying the talent in the dirt. However, if he had done that, then his talent would have done something, and when the master returned, he would have gotten the talent back with interest. And so he is commended for his, or he is condemned for his failure to do anything. The servant simply failed to appreciate the opportunity that his master had given him, and as a result, the master casts him out into the outer darkness. Now, the servants in this parable were given resources to manage on their master's behalf. And that shows for us how we are to live as God's people in this life. For ourselves, we are, of course, in the position of the servants in this parable. God is our master. No matter what else is going on around the world, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who's in Congress, God is in control. And for us as Christians, we see that most clearly, and we recognize that most clearly, God is our master, God is our teacher, Jesus is our king. And God, as the master of this world, has blessed us with many gifts, none of which we can say that we have earned for ourselves. God gives us our life. He gives us our time, he gives us our skills and talents, and yes, he gives us our money. Yes, you earned some or all of these things by your own efforts, but they are still, nevertheless, a gift from God who created them in the first place. You work for your income using the skills and time that God has given you. God is the creator. He's the one who distributes. He gives you the abilities that you use to earn a living. They are God's gift. Ultimately, all that we have and are is God's gift. And so, because you are God's servant, entrusted with what is ultimately God's in order to use it wisely, we are to care for these things that God gives us, to manage the resources that he gives us to his benefit. The servants who were commended as faithful did not just hold on to what their master had given them, they used it. There's a saying that it takes money to make money, and in something like this, that is correct. The faithful servants invested, they traded with their talents in order to double their money in however much time it was that the master was gone. In other words, they didn't just sit on their hands or twiddle their thumbs, they were active. They were actively using what the master had given them. Was there risk involved? Yes. Was there reward involved? Obviously. By contrast, the servant who is condemned for his laziness held on to his master's gift and preserved it. There was no more and no less there than when the master returned than when he had left. In other words, he refused to take risks. For ourselves, a Christian life is not meant to be one of leisure and ease. We are called to be active with our faith and with our life. We are called to use what God has given us to God's glory. There are risks involved with following Christ and being obedient to his will. We read about those risks all the time as we read the stories of those who are persecuted around the world for Christ's sake. And yet, at the same time, the reward that is offered is so much greater. And there is one other thing that sets apart the faithful and unfaithful servants, that's their attitude. The unfaithful servant looked at the master's gift as being a curse. He saw his master as a hard man who was looking for an opportunity to take what belonged to others. He says, "I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed, so I was afraid." He was afraid of his master's wrath if he risked and lost. He didn't want his master to return and find less, so he didn't do anything to make more. The faithful servant, on the other hand, saw the opportunity in the master's gift. Perhaps they realized that their master was the sort to take such big risks. Perhaps they were themselves doing no less than what the master would do by investing and trading and being active with what he had. Their actions helped themselves. They also helped those in whom they with whom they invested. They didn't fear their master's wrath. Instead, they rejoiced in his blessing. And so what sort of attitude are you to have towards the Christian life? Is our attitude that of the unfaithful servant, afraid of God's wrath, keeping and storing up God's blessings, hiding them away? This can apply to the gift of salvation that God has given to us. It can apply to our money and talents, focusing entirely on the benefit we derive instead of the opportunities we have to serve God thereby? Or else is our attitude that of the faithful servant, eager to use God's blessings for the good of others? Rather than hiding our faith away and storing it up for later, sharing it and investing it so others can benefit by our faith by receiving God's gifts of grace and salvation. Rather than using our abilities for our own benefit, looking for the opportunities that God gives us to use those abilities to serve others and serve God and the church. Rather than clutching our money and using it solely for ourselves, giving of what we have received for the benefit of God and those around us. What is our attitude? So what is the Christian life? It is being a servant whose master is away. It is being a servant who has been entrusted by the master with a great gift. It is being a servant charged with managing that great gift wisely on the master's behalf. In a physical sense, we acknowledge that everything we have and are comes ultimately from God, and that we are accountable to Him for the way that we manage what is His. In a spiritual sense, we know that we have been entrusted with a wonderful blessing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we can share and, yes, invest with others, allowing them to hear that same good news and enjoy those same benefits of salvation and eternal life which it brings. The time while the Master is away is long. It's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus was born, lived, died, rose, and ascended. And we don't know when He will return. But we do know that He will return. And when He returns, we will receive an even greater blessing than everything He has given us in this life. We will receive eternal life. You did not earn God's grace. You did not work for God's grace. You are not worthy of God's grace and eternal life. It is purely a gift which Christ gives to you freely. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, living as His servants now and in the future. Amen.